broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A couple of items and then right to our callers. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. I walked into the studio and saw a note, and the words in the note were precisely what I needed to hear. Be encouraged. The note from Belinda in Arkansas, who goes on to say, Hank, thank you so much for your ministry. You have helped me a great deal. I was able to crawl my way out of the New Age movement with the Lord's pursuit of me. And now I listen every day and give monthly out of sincere appreciation. You're a gem used of our Lord. God bless you sincerely again, Belinda. And it was a note of encouragement to me on a lot of different levels. One, a person that is supporting our ministry on an ongoing monthly basis, and a person who has been dramatically impacted by the ministry. So we are deeply encouraged, Belinda, by your note, and we are encouraging many people to join us prayerfully and financially as monthly support team members. We had a pretty rough January, to say the least, economically. In February, has not started out so well either, and so sometimes you get a little discouraged, but then we have the note that says, be encouraged, and that's precisely where we ought to be, simply encouraging you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web, equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. The second thing I want to mention is an article by Frank Schaeffer, the son of the famous 20th century philosopher who built and conducted the Le Bris Training Center in Switzerland. But Frank, his son, known as Frankie, wrote an article titled How to Survive the Trumpocalypse and Build a Better America for 2017. So how do you do that, according to Frank Schaeffer? Well, you got to make a New Year's resolution to deconvert a white evangelical today. Why? Because according to Frank Schaeffer, white evangelical America is rooting for chaos, for disintegration, and that on a par with Islamic extremists and terrorists. The real question, says Frank Schaeffer, is what can be done about white evangelicals who are now the sworn enemy of democracy and the sworn enemy of reason itself. He goes on to write, social justice evangelical types give cover to the vast majority of nefarious and mentally deranged white evangelical voters. They are, as it were, good Germans during the Nazi era. The entire evangelical movement needs to be demolished, writes Frank Schaeffer. Again, why? Well, there is no nice, smart version of believing in a God who made people to burn forever. And Trump is very much like their God. It is time to call the white evangelical movement what it is, a promoter of terror, unreasoning, hatred, and oppression. Now, what is interesting about this, other than the racial aspect of it, white evangelicals, and the call to demolish them, is that he is a fundamentalist who believes that white evangelicals somehow or other think that hell is a place of burning, whereas the Bible uses burning or fire, just as it uses blackest darkness forever, as ways to describe the horror of being left to your own settled choices, which is a horror in this life and ratified by God in the life to come. And I think Christians, whether Asian or Indian, African-American, of European descent, of course, in Christ there is no racial distinction, need now more than ever to be lovers of peace and tolerance and reason. So pray for people like Frankie Schaefer, but I think more than that, as we so often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. A lot of people calling in, again, the number 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let me say something about the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Before I go to our callers, I've been wanting to do this because in context of what Frankie Schaefer has written, I think it's important for us to know what the biblical idea of hell really is. And I touched on that just a moment ago. But I have an entry in the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, and a reminder that those who join as support team members, I'd be happy to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. By the way, the reason we had such a great month last year economically is this book just came out a year ago. And so many people ordered it, and they gave as a result of ordering it. One of the entries is, why should I believe in hell? And let me quickly say there are three basic reasons. The first of which is that Christ, the creator of the cosmos, clearly communicated hell's irrevocable reality. The second is that the concept of choice demands that we believe in hell. Without hell, there is no choice. All we end up being is fatalistically determined by brain chemistry and genetics. Imagine spending an entire lifetime voluntarily distancing yourself from God only to find yourself involuntarily dragged into his loving presence for all eternity. The alternative to hell is worse than hell itself, in that humans made in the image of God would be stripped of freedom and forced to worship God against their wills. And then the third point would be that common sense dictates that there must be a hell. King David, he knew that for a time it might seem as though the wicked prosper in spite of their deeds, but in the end, God's justice will be served. Common sense dictates that without a hell, there's no need for a savior. And I think little needs to be said about the absurdity of suggesting that the Creator would suffer more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind if there were no hell to save us from. Without hell, there's no need for salvation, and without salvation, there's no need for a sacrifice. And without sacrifice, there's no need for a Savior. As much as we may wish to think that all will be saved, common sense precludes the possibility. So the idea of hell, as posited by Christians, not just white evangelical Christians, that idea is not irrational. It is an idea that springs forth from the fact that we are created in the Imago Dei, and God does not just arbitrarily rub out the crowning jewels of his creation because they have chosen to live apart from his goodness, his glory, and his grace. First up today, Rosalind, listening in Jacksonville, Florida, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Rosalind.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. So I want to know, what do you think about the Southern Baptist, denomination?
Well, you know, it's a fantastic evangelical denomination. Some of the finest churches in the United States are Southern Baptist churches with pastors that are deeply committed to essential Christian doctrine. You think of pastors like Jack Graham, Ed Young. There's just so many of them. It's hard to hard to start naming them off, but there are so many fantastic Southern Baptist pastors, and I think it's a denomination that really strives to be true, demonstrate fidelity to the Word of God, and so I'm pretty high on the Southern Baptist denomination.
Okay, all right, so they don't believe that women should be ordained. Is that something that you have something to say about? How do you believe on that?
Well, I think what's important is that women exercise their gifts. You can never say, because I'm a woman, I cannot exercise my gift. If you are gifted by God, you are responsible to use that gift. Now, within a certain church organizations, within certain ecclesiologies, women are not permitted to be the head pastor of a church. They can serve in other roles. They can serve as a deaconess, or they can they can certainly teach, all these kinds of things. But because of precedent that is derived from the Old Testament and carried through to the New, that is the view. But this is one of those secondary issues. Ecclesiology is something that we can debate vigorously, but doesn't rise to the level of essential Christian doctrine. And I think that the main emphasis that we have at the Christian Research Institute is on what C.S. Lewis termed mere Christianity, which is to say, in essentials, unity, non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity.
Okay. All right, I've been listening to you for a while, and I am going to call and talk to someone so I can. I want that book about Islam, the latest one, the young lady who wrote the book.
Mindy Belts,
about understanding it.
Yes, it's fantastic. The title of the book is They Say We Are Infidels. Just hang on, Rosalind, and I can get that book into your hand.
All right, thank you.
And thank you so much for your support as well. A lot of people calling in. Let's go right back to the phone lines and talk to Chad, listening in Sunshine Coast, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Hank. I really appreciate your show. Thank you very much for your ministry. My question pertains to Revelations chapter 21, where they talk about the stones in the New Jerusalem and the wall that they're building. And I've done a little bit of research. I found out the amethyst means like sobriety. And I just like to know if there's any way that I could get any information on the other 11 stones.
Yeah, sure. One of the things, though, that I think is important is to read Revelation 21 in the sense in which it is intended. So the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband, is an analogy for the full complement of God's people. God himself will be with us. He will be our God. We will be his people. And so the New Jerusalem shines, right? And it's like a precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. So the idea is that you have an analogy for the people of God, both Jew and Gentile. So you have the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of the Lamb in the analogy. And then you also have the 12 stones, and the stones are laid out in four rows of three gems. And it is very much analogous to what you find on the high priest's breastplate. I think one of the things that is very, very helpful in the Christian tradition that goes all the way back to the early church is God using earthly, empirical, perceptible realities to understand eternal verities. And this is precisely what's going on. And that's why in many churches, like in the Orthodox churches with a big O, the vestments that the priests or the presbyters wear are analogies of something that you can know about God and about His purpose and plan for your life. We're coming up to station break. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
To be a Christian in Iraq and Syria is to live in mortal danger. Churches are bombed, pastors murdered, children kidnapped. They Say We Are Infidels by Mindy Bells gives you the facts and real-life stories from persecuted Christians who live on the run from ISIS in the Middle East. To receive your copy of They Say We Are Infidels as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. What is one of the greatest lies in the history of the world? That Islam is a religion of peace. To suggest this goes against all that is politically correct and fashionable in the Western world today. Yet truth has always been divisive, and if we don't wake up, the long-term consequences could be unthinkable. That's why we're offering They Say We're Infidels, On the Run from ISIS with Persecuted Christians in the Middle East by Mindy Bells. To be a Christian in Iraq and Syria is to live in mortal danger. Churches are bombed, pastors murdered, children kidnapped. Receive your copy of They Say We Are Infidels as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. National Institutes of Health recently opened the possibility of federal funding for chimera research, the genetic mixing of human and non-human animals. Should federal grants be used to encourage more research in this area? If not, why not? Don't miss On Chimeras and What It Means to Be Human in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Next up is Mary listening in Illinois on Bot Radio. Hi, Mary. Hi. I'm trying to hear you, Mary. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. We've made a connection.
All right. I'm thankful for you taking my call. It's a first-time caller, and I've had a question for many, many years. I'm a longtime Christian. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe that the Word of God is true and living Word of God. In younger years, I took the Word in the Old Testament as it is. I didn't really think much about it, but in my later years, I have trouble with the violence required of the Israelites in making sacrifices. And I was hoping you could shed some light on that. Beyond the fact that it's representative of the blood that Christ shed for our salvation. Would you be able to help me with that?
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the word violence, because when you think about the Christ who is prefigured, you realize that he suffered more than any human being, and more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humankind, so that we might be redeemed to him, not only in time, but also in eternity. So as I was mentioning to an earlier caller today, God uses earthly, perceptible, and sometimes very graphic realities to point to spiritual verities. And in the Christian worldview, we recognize that there is going to be a resurrection. And by the way, that resurrection does not preclude animals being in the new heaven and the new earth. The offering of sacrifices is really explained in detail, perhaps better than anywhere in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews. And so I'd really urge you to read the book of Hebrews. But these sacrifices were never to exempt the Hebrews from the duty to live prayerfully and morally. They're told to do that in the Old Testament as well. But the Old Testament prophets were against empty ritual, against vain sacrifice. God is not satisfied by the blood of animals, David says in Psalm 51. It is a broken spirit and a contrite heart that God desires. And therefore, the Mosaic sacrificial system not only prefigures Christ's own sacrifice, the greatest of all sacrifices, but it points to the pouring out of ourselves in self-sacrificial service, as detailed in places like Romans chapter 12 or 1 Peter chapter 2. So we're called to sacrifice ourselves. We're called to give ourselves for the cause of Christ. And many Christians today are doing exactly that in the Middle East. I was just reading in Mindy Belts's book about two priests who were sacrificed, asking for their congregants to be spared. But they were showing a sacrificial love, not only in their death, but in the teachings that they exemplified throughout their lives. So again, going back to Hebrews chapter 9, according to the law, nearly everything had to be purified by blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Again, prefiguring the sacrifice that came through Christ. In Leviticus 17, we read, "The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement." So again, you have an earthly, perceptible reality, something that we can touch and smell and feel, as it were, pointing to the Eucharist or the Lord's table that we partake of every single week, remembering the real presence of Christ, experiencing the real presence of Christ, so that we can live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, so that we work by, as Paul said, all His energy, which so powerfully works in us. We are able, through the Lord's table, to partake of the cup, to partake of the body of Christ in the bread. We are able through that to be empowered by something that goes beyond bios, our own earthly energy. So it is the most graphic on the one hand, but the most significant on the other hand of all the things that we're involved in. It is the center of what we are involved in terms of living out the Christian life and recognizing that Christ not only saves us by His blood, but it is through His blood that we are empowered to live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit.
Yes, I agree with that. As you can guess, I just have trouble with imagining all of the animals dying. if it's all faith-based. But
there's a hierarchy, though. There is a hierarchy here in God's creation. This does not mean that animals are not avant-garde, that they're not some of the greatest of God's creation, but they are not the greatest. Human beings are made in the image and likeness of God. So there's something special about every single human being because they have the imprimatur of God. And animals are those that we will not only experience in this life, but I believe that we will experience in the life to come. So, you know, in this life we have brokenness, we have hurt because of sin, but God restores all things and puts all things to right in eternity. And I think that's the balm of Gilead, if you will, or the solace we can have for our souls.
Okay, well, I thank you so much for sharing with me, and I'll pray over your words and hope that the Lord can send me revelation.
Yeah, and do read the book of Hebrews.
I will.
Bless you, Mary. Thank you so much for calling. We'll go back to the phone lines, talk to Chase in Merced, California next. Hi, Chase.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
So, good. Living here in California, you know, it's obviously it's tough. So many people are against you, and they almost demonize you if you have anything to do with being a white evangelical. And I was listening to your piece on was it Frank Schaeffer?
Yeah, Frankie Schaeffer.
And all the things that he said. And what I wanted to ask you is, how do we as Christians, one, remain so peaceful? Believe me, it's so hard when I you know, just today I've even received a threat just talking to a man. But how do we stay peaceful, and how do we get past the fact that if you are labeled a white evangelical, you're almost assigned to a certain party, a certain political party. And how do we get past that and break down the barriers between Republican and Democrat and so many other religions and keep peace?
Yeah, I think maybe the first thing to do is to remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, that we are blessed, in fact, if we are persecuted. And so there's a prescription for living out the Christian life that Paul gives to us when he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn, and live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Paul goes on to say, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of not just some, but everybody. And then, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And don't take revenge. Leave room for God's wrath. It is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. The bottom line in Romans chapter 12, do not be overcome by evil. Overcome evil with good. And so there's a sense in which we can be thankful for persecution. It is to be expected in this world. Blessed are those who are persecuted, said Jesus, because of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, blessed are you when people persecute you, insult you, say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice, be glad. Great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So what do you do? With a Frankie Schaefer, do you return evil for evil? Do you yell back and be intolerant with the same intolerance that he expresses? No, what you do is you deal with his objections with gentleness and with respect. Now, if he simply shuns you or yells at you, you don't have to feel like somehow or other it is your responsibility to change his heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. But what you can be is someone who is always ready to give that answer with gentleness and with respect. And the reason that I brought up Frank Schaefer and the horrible things he said is because I want Christians not to have a we they siege mentality as he does, but rather to reach out to these kinds of people, and they're more and more around. Reach out to them with gentleness and with respect. Now, why are there more and more around? I would argue it's because the church has not been about the Father's business. You know, if you take a pound of salt and you put it in a quart of water, you got salty water. But why is it that there are so many evangelicals and yet so little impact on our culture? Perhaps we're still in Ziploc bags. We're not permeating the water. And maybe lots of little Ziploc bags so that we're not even having fellowship with one another, experiencing what I was talking about earlier, mere Christianity. So when the salt loses its saltiness, what happens is the culture corrodes, corrupts, and goes into the kind of free fall that we now have. So we can't hope that the problem is solved by the government. Now, there are people right now putting out public letters to Trump and Pence, hoping that they're going to solve the problem that we ought to be solving, which is we ought to be the salt and light. I mean, the government's supposed to keep us safe and secure. But we're supposed to be salt and light wherever we have been planted and demonstrate the genuine reality of our faith through the love that we exude. We're going to be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To get the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, and as well, we'll come back with a quote of the day. You'll be interested in the quote of the day because it comes from Francis Schaefer, Frankie Schaefer's father.
The historic Christian church has held the eternal generation of the Son formally since the 4th century. But some evangelicals fail to see the biblical foundation or importance of the doctrine. Charles Lee Irons explains how the church fathers derived this doctrine from Scripture and why it is essential to both Christ's deity and to the Trinity. To receive your copy of the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, including the article, Begotten of the Father Before All Ages, The Biblical Basis of Eternal Generation According to the Church Fathers, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break.
Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. News headlines make clear that Islam is a force to be reckoned with in the lives of hundreds of millions of people around the globe. Islam represents both a threat and a mission field for Christians. To help you meet the challenge, be sure to read two timely articles included in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Jesus and Islam by David Wood examines teachings about Jesus from the Quran and addresses the question, why is Jesus so radically different from everyone else, including Muhammad? Then Robin Dale Hathaway explores the question, Islam and Christianity, is a productive dialogue possible? To receive the latest edition of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. In the book, They Say We Are Infidels, On the Run from ISIS with Persecuted Christians in the Middle East, author Mindy Bells writes, slashing and burning its way through the Middle East, ISIS captured the world's attention in 2014 with horrific video footage of its militants beheading victims. To Western onlookers, this aggression seemed to come out of nowhere. Yet this clash was inevitable, the result of an unheeded war the extremists had been waging for years. To receive your copy of They Say We Are Infidels as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we begin this segment with the quote of the day. It comes from Frank Schaeffer's father, Francis Schaeffer, an influential American Christian philosopher and theologian in the mid-20th century. He and Edith, his wife, founded Le Brie Community in Switzerland, and Francis Schaeffer had this to say, "The central problem of our age is not liberalism or modernism, nor the old Roman Catholicism or the new Roman Catholicism, nor the threat of communism, nor even the threat of rationalism and monolithic senses which surrounds us. All these are dangerous, but not the primary threat. The real problem is this: the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ individually or corporately tending to do the Lord's work in the power of the flesh rather than the power of the Spirit. The central problem is always in the midst of the people of God, not in the circumstances surrounding them. A quote, very, very poignant and profound. We can look at the pagan world, and we can think the problem is with the pagan world. No, the problem is not with the pagan world. Pagans are exercising their job description. What else would they do? The real problem is Christians, as I mentioned in the last segment, not being a salt and light in a lost and searching world. Now let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jason. He's listening in Hot Springs, Arkansas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing
well. I just had a question since it was in your area about the Elevation Church. What's his name? Frank Furtick?
Stephen Furtick.
What'd you think of him?
Yeah, the pastor's name is Stephen Furtick. And my problem with Stephen's teachings is that he's endorsing people that I would have a great deal of difficulty with. Examples would be Joel Osteen. I actually wrote a little booklet, and that booklet is titled The Osteenification of American Christianity. I coined that word because he is the biggest of the bunch. And Osteenification, as I point out in the booklet, is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American Christianity. It's the commodification of the divine. It's the reduction of Christianity to the crass specter of pagan consumerism. It's the transformation through the recital of mantras rather than through the renewing of minds. And while a host of pretenders follow in his train, Joel Osteen is clearly the biggest of the bunch. He's the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of American Christianity that reduces God to a means to our end. And it is that which beckons so many to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. So what you have, in essence, is the glory of the cross transposed to the glory of consumerism. I liken it to a fast food variety of Christianity that's long on looks but dreadfully short on substance. It's the triumph of technique over theology, style over substance. It's the preeminence of psychobabble over precept and principle. So the bottom line here is the person commended, endorsed, and defended by Stephen Furtick, I think, is the de facto high priest of a new brand of Christianity, perfectly suited for a feel-good generation. And much more here could be said. That's why I wrote the book, The Osteenification of American Christianity. It is available through the ministry. I should also mention that he has had in his pulpit Word of Faith icons such as T.D. Jakes and Joyce Meyer. I've mentioned T.D. Jakes. He is a provocateur of a give-to-get scheme. He says that there are certain truths that transcend all other principles, and giving to get is one of them. Says Jakes, it would be ridiculous for me to pray that God would give your money back to you, because if all he was going to do was give it back to you, you ought to keep it. And then he says, with emphasis, that's ridiculous. Why? Because if you got $100 or $1,000 and you were going to get $1,000, I tell you what, you just broke even. You should have kept the $1,000 and not gone through the trouble of giving it. This, however, from a biblical standpoint, is miles away from the certain truth that Jakes makes it. Now, Moses communicated to the children of God, we give so that we may learn to revere the Lord our God always. We give so that we might be able to meet the physical needs of those less fortunate. And ultimately, we give so that we might extend His kingdom. So to suggest, as Jakes has done so often and with such bravado, that it is ridiculous to give for the sake of giving as opposed to giving for the sake of getting is in itself ridiculous. And then, of course, he also endorses Joyce Meyer, who says, "There is no hope of anyone going to heaven unless you believe this truth I am presenting. You cannot go to heaven unless you believe with all your heart that Jesus took your place in hell." Now, what she means by that is that Jesus finished the work of redemption in hell, which is to say that if you believe that on the cross Jesus paid it all, when he said, "Tetelestai," secular Koine Greek, for the debt has been paid in full, then according to Joyce Meyer, you have no hope of salvation because he said it is finished, and it is simply wrong. It's not finished. It's not finished because the work of redemption, in her view, was finished in hell, and not even completely finished there. I write about that in my book, Christianity in Crisis, and I give all the citations. But I think another thing that is very deeply troubling in this regard, making her an icon and promoting her, is she will mock people that have disabilities. For example, she will mock a helpless paralytic lying by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years and say that that paralytic was faithless and foolish. When she revises the words of our Lord, you have the paralytic, again in her revision, invoking one pathetic excuse after the other. And without so much as a hint of compassion, she responds, "I would think that after 38 years, a diligent, determined person could have crawled over the edge of the pool. Even if that man had only moved an inch a year, it seems that in 38 years, he ought to have been able to get close enough to the edge of the pool to roll over to the water when it stirred." And she makes a sharp distinction between her own faith and the faith of the paralytic. She says, "I would have been on the edge of that pool the very next year when the angel came around and when the water started bubbling. I would have fallen in and said, either I'm going to get healed or I'm going to die, but I'm not staying like this." And then she concludes her excoriation of the paralytic with virtually the identical words used by Joel Osteen, who does the same thing. Sometimes, she says, we have to get up, get going, and just keep moving. And our moral is that if you are a paralytic or a paraplegic, you are the problem. So instead of feeling sorry for yourself, just get up. If you want to put this another way, the key to health and prosperity is to have faith in your faith rather than having faith in your God. And according to Joyce Meyer, faith is not just some little, well, you know, I believe in Jesus. Faith is a force that will change your life and change your destiny. And she has made explicit that she is taking New Thought metaphysics and repackaging it for Christian consumption when she says that words are containers for power. They carry creative or destructive power, positive or negative power. And so we need to be speaking right things of our lives and about our futures if we expect to have good things happen. Now, this is not some small theological aberration. This is not something that is insignificant, because prosperity preachers, ranging from Joyce Meyer to T.D. Jakes, are now convincing their devotees that what happens in your life is a result of the words that you are speaking. So if you're healthy and prosperous, well, words created your reality. Conversely, if your baby dies or if your spouse contracts cancer, you are the prime suspect. And of course, Joel Osteen is very, very clear when he talks about it, saying the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. This is a spiritual principle, and it works whether you are saying something good or bad, positive or negative. And when I say this is eerily similar to the thoughts of New Thought practitioners, all you have to do is compare what he's saying and teaching with Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. When he was asked on live television whether a 9-year-old Florida girl was brutally murdered, he pointed out, and this is the contributor to The Secret, Joe Vitale, he pointed out that this 9-year-old Florida girl, brutally murdered, attracted the horror to herself. He said, "We are attracting everything to ourselves. There is no exception." And while faith teachers like Joel Osteen have noteworthy differences with New Agers such as Vitale and Byrne, they are united in the belief that the force of faith is so powerful that even the master of the universe is bound by its irrevocable reality. Again, I think that pastors ought to be protecting their flock from these kinds of teachings rather than promoting them, commending them, endorsing them, and defending them. Well, we are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be right back here Monday with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we pray that many of you will stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. It is a battle, and your participation is needed.
Thank you for joining us today. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Topics include Jesus in Islam, Islam and Christianity, Is a Productive Dialogue Possible?, Begotten of the Father Before All Ages, The Biblical Basis of the Eternal Generation of the Son According to the Church Fathers, Mormonism, the Afterlife and Striving After Godhood, and much more. Just call 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. What is one of the greatest lies in the history of the world? That Islam is a religion of peace. To suggest this goes against all that is politically correct and fashionable in the Western world today. Yet truth has always been divisive, and if we don't wake up, the long-term consequences could be unthinkable. That's why we're offering They Say We're Infidels, On the Run from ISIS with Persecuted Christians in the Middle East by Mindy Bells. To be a Christian in Iraq and Syria is to live in mortal danger. Churches are bombed, pastors murdered, children kidnapped. Receive your copy of They Say We Are Infidels as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.